Hello, friends, and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is an outreach ministry of the Wash and Word. If you're not familiar with the Wash and Word, that is a business my wife and I own and operate here in Churchill, Tennessee. It's in Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. There, we have a hand car washing business that we have opened for the sole purpose of getting these verse by verse Bible teachings out into the world. And so you can come by the Wash and Word, turn on your radio to 107.1 FM, and these sermons, they play on the 107.1 frequency, and you can listen to them in the parking lot. We have a small radio transmitter that puts them about 150-foot radius of the Wash and Word, and there you can listen to these messages. And while you're getting your car washed or you're waiting in line, or even if you're just hanging out in the parking lot for any particular reason, you can tune to 107.1 FM. And these verse-by-verse Bible teachings go forth on that radio frequency in the parking lot. We also invite you to washandword.com because there you can download and listen for free to any of these messages that we've broadcast already. And also these messages broadcast on WMCH, that's 1260 AM, right here in Church Hill. And again, we've opened this business so that we can get the Word of God out there in a unique way. We don't believe that the world needs another church, but we do believe the world needs more of the Word of God. And so, being a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we are going to pick up where we left off, which was we finished in verse 33 of the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And Jesus has been talking about... he's getting to that point now where he's getting ready to submit his life, and he's just letting the hearers know that, you know, that he has come to do this bidding and to do and to give us so much. And we ended in our last message talking about how not, you know, how to be careful of not to take things for granted. And sometimes the way God, the way he makes it so that we can appreciate things is he'll take them away from us. And I brought up a few things last week in our last message to kind of give you a little, you know, a little reminder, a little push not to take certain things for granted, even though they're hard, even though we think they're going to be there tomorrow. And this isn't even to say anything about your job or your car or your family or any of those kind of things or even your life, but the things God has given us in a spiritual, for instance, the Bible and prayer and fellowship and serving God. And God gave us all these things for our benefit. Just like when Jesus was talking there in our last scripture reading, there was a voice that came down from heaven, and the people that were around heard it because Jesus did it for their benefit. And that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know that these things are here for our benefit. Don't take them for granted. And so we pick it up in verse 34, and we read, "The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." And when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And so Jesus, here again, this reflects the same thoughts that he was having earlier, you know, telling his listeners to put their trust in the light while you have it. You know, don't take it for granted because it's not going to be there forever. Christ is only going to be on earth for a short time. This is, you know, to these people, this is what he wanted to say. And so I would add that to, you know, to you, Christian, I would say put your faith into action while there is still time. You know, the service that God has for you, if you don't activate it, if you don't pursue it, it is either going to pass you by or pass you over. Listen, the will of God will never, ever be stopped, delayed, altered, or, you know, any of those kind of words because you didn't serve God. Do you understand that your service to God does not alter the will of God? Again, it goes back to the privilege we have of serving him, that if you decide not to follow in the preordained path of service that God has laid out for you, which totally and perfectly lines up with your gifting and your passion. If you choose not to serve God in that area, God is going to find somebody else to do it. Or he's just going to do it supernaturally. Do you see the importance of doing the will of God and serving him in the order of your gifts? The importance of that is for you. Just as that voice was for the benefit of the hearers, your service to God is for your benefit. And if you let it go by, if you do not act, it's like getting a new credit card in the mail. You ever get a new one because you're expired? What is the first thing it says to do? Remove the sticker and what? It says call in order to activate the card. So having the card is useless unless you call and activate it. And knowing the will of God and doing the will of God and having the giftings to accomplish the will of God are completely useless unless you, quote unquote, activate them. You know, my father often questions the Lord, you know, why didn't he get saved in his 20s? Why did it wait? It took him into his, gosh, I think it was maybe his 50s before he got saved. And he often questioned, you know, why didn't God save him when he was in his 20s? And, you know, that's on him. You know, he's missed out on a lot of what God had for him. And if you took a long time to get saved or you're still contemplating it, every day that goes by, you're missing something God has for you. And again, it goes back to not taking things for granted. You know, I've taken up jogging again. And the most frequent question I get asked when the subject of jogging comes up is simply, why do you jog? And most of the reason is because I still can. Because I know that one day soon, my body is not going to let me jog. And oh, how I will probably miss the ability to jog. When I was a little bit younger, I used to play football once a week. And why? People would say, you run the risk of getting hurt. And again, it's because I know one day I knew, which that day has already come. But at that time, I knew one day I wouldn't be able to play football anymore. And so I enjoyed it while I could do it. Because I still could, and I do things because I still can. And someday you will not be able to do the things that you will at that time wish you had done. I read God's word because I still can, and one day my eyes might be so bad that I can't. I go to church because I still can, because one day we might wake up and it becomes illegal. And Jesus says, put your trust in the light, verse 36, while you still can. Don't take even tomorrow for granted, especially if you're hearing these words and you've yet to commit your life to Christ. Ephesians 5:14 says, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Will you be satisfied later that you did all the things you could do back when you could do them? Or will you regret passing them by and passing them over? I do not want to come across as judgmental, but we all need a wake-up call every now and then. So friends, wake up. Time is short. Make a difference before you become indifferent. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Because one day soon, we may not have the kind of opportunity that we have to serve God right now. So this has been a legal, for now, public service announcement from your friend here at the Wash and Word, verse-by-verse radio Bible teaching. Let us continue. All right, let us continue reading. Picking up in verse 37, we read, even after Jesus had done all of these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Let's stop there and talk about Jesus' glory for just a minute. You know, I find it interesting. We're looking at two different perspectives here, two different groups of people. We're looking at a person who lived hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, who never once saw Jesus. And we're looking at a group of people contrasted that have been with Jesus, saw the miraculous signs, walked with him, and yet the one who never saw Jesus is the one who believed, and the one who was with Jesus all this time didn't believe. It's crazy, isn't it, to think about that? I mean, shouldn't the one who never actually saw Jesus be in more disbelief than the ones who actually walked with him? And in verse 37, we read that even after Jesus had done these things, the miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. And in verse 41, it says, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Hold on to that for just a second. We're gonna touch back on that. He saw Jesus' glory. Listen, you probably know this already, but God moves by his Spirit. He doesn't move in the natural, per se. He moves in the supernatural, by his Spirit. We sing a song that says, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. It's better to be with the Lord in the Spirit for a day than 1,000 days doing anything else. And to further that thought, better is a glimpse in the Spirit than a full-on stare in the flesh. And right there, friends, is what the difference between these two groups of people. Isaiah got a glimpse in the Spirit of a glorified Jesus. And these people, well, they were looking at Jesus in the flesh, in fleshly eyes, in a natural manner. And they could stare all day for weeks and months and years even and not get what Isaiah got in a glimpse. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us, listen, by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You see, all of the incredible, awesome, inspiring, thought-provoking, insightful, and solid preaching and ministering and fleshly activity in the world cannot compare to what God can do in the Spirit in a flash, in an instant. And I know that so many of you, myself included, we get so busy doing the Lord's work that we become too busy for the Lord himself. And it may be noble and it may be right to serve him, but the devil would rather have you serving God than worshiping him. And Isaiah saw for a moment the glorified Christ. Listen to the different Jesuses and how they touch us. A wounded Jesus touches our heart. A miracle-performing Jesus touches our emotions. An angry Jesus touches our adrenaline. A teaching Jesus touches our intellect. And a dying Jesus touches our mortality. But only a glorified Jesus can touch our soul. In verse 16, Jesus told them that you will only understand these things later, after I'm gone. And sometimes not until you and I catch a glimpse of the glorified Jesus will we be even able to conform into his image. The Jews that were with Jesus in the flesh did not believe what they were looking at and what they witnessed. Yet a man who lived almost 800 years before him totally believed. And why? Because verse 41 says, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Friends, this is the difference. We need to see Jesus' glory. We need to gaze upon Christ in a spiritual mindset with spiritual eyes. And in a spiritual moment, we can be changed. Because Jesus can touch us on all those other different natural and fleshly levels. And that's great. But only the glorified Jesus in the Spirit of us reaching out can change us. That is why I'm constantly preaching, spend time with Jesus, alone with him. Let the Holy Spirit connect you to the risen, glorified Savior, and it is there that we are truly changed. And friends, I invite you to continue to come back to these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. Again, you can hear them on 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can go to 107.1 FM in the parking lot of the Wash and Word, or go to washandword.com where you can listen to these archived messages. Have a blessed day. We'll see you soon.